while that is the case, there's also this other thing that we've been balancing in this series of knowing that you're not even capable of gentleness. You're not even capable of having joy. You're not even capable of being patient in your own humanity. But it's the work of the Spirit. It's the work of the gospel. It's the work of Christ that actually enables us, that actually it's the fruit of his Spirit that is working in and through us. So we're going to get into gentleness. I want to remind us again of this quote. I'm not going to do any review today. I think I'll probably end up doing one message where we just go through and do one large review at the end just to kind of try to tie it all back together. But I love this quote. Gentleness and self-control are part of the fruit of the Spirit. So if they're not the fruit of our theology, that must mean our theology is not of the Spirit. And so, in other words, that we need to be seeking out gentleness. We need to be seeking out self-control. We got to believe that this is part of the image of Christ, and this also has to be displayed in us because we are bearers of his image. We are people of his image. And so if we just write it off and say, oh, we don't need to have gentleness, or we don't need to have self-control, if we don't need to have joy, and then our theology is off. So we're going to go into gentleness, and kind of the text that I'm going to be going through comes from Matthew 11, 28, and 29. And so I just want us to all read this together out loud. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Father, I thank you for this scripture. God, I thank you for this message. And I just pray, God, that you would just make your message clear this morning, that your Spirit would come, Lord Jesus, that we would draw near to you, God, that we would come to you, Lord Jesus. And I just pray, Father, for your goodness to just be revealed to us in a new way as we look at gentleness, as we look at this scripture here that you have given to us in Matthew. So one of the things that I just loved, and one of the reasons I was drawn to this passage was I had an opportunity in my workplace to share the gospel this week with a coworker. Just felt like the moment was right, the time was right. He was in a area of his life where he was just kind of at rock bottom. And so I just took him out for coffee for an hour and just had an opportunity to share the whole gospel with him. But this was one of the passages that I shared with him, and it just kind of stuck with me. I was just thinking about it. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And just looking at that first part, just even before we get three words into this part of the passage, he opens up with an invitation. Come to me. And I just want us to think about the significance of those words. And I don't know if you guys ever, you know, in your devotional or in your personal reading, you know, if you have a yearly, you know, Bible plan that you're, you know, reading through a couple chapters, and those have been really beneficial and influential in my life to just be washed in the Word. But there are some times where all you can accomplish in a 30-minute sit-down or 15-minute sit-down is just meditating on a few words. Come to me. Come to me. To really start understanding that invitation, come to me, that he's often asking us, he's giving us that invitation. And this is why this is so important, because how often do we get this backwards? How often in our prayer life do we say, God, come to me. Where are you, God? Why am I not hearing from you? Why does it seem like you're so distant? Why are you so far away? How often is that our prayer? What we don't realize is that all through Scripture, The invitation is for us to come to Him. If the reason that we are not hearing from God or that He is far off, it's because we're not moving towards Him. We're not accepting that invitation for us to come to Him. And these are found as further example here in John 6. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and whoever comes to me I will never cast out." Jesus is extending this invitation to come. And again, in Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." There's the promise there. It says, you will find me. So not you may find me or you might find me, but you will find me when you seek me with your heart. Imagine if a child is playing hide and seek. How many of you children like to play hide and seek? Yep, I knew Jake probably would like playing hide and seek. You know, as a child plays hide and seek, one of the factors that makes it so enjoyable that if they're playing hide and seek is that they know that the person that they're trying to find is somewhere here. You know, imagine you as a parent going off and playing hide and seek with your child, and they're running around and they're trying to find you, and the delight and joy on their face when they actually find you. But what if that child all of a sudden is looking and looking and looking for you, and you took off to go to Walmart and you're not even anywhere around? All of a sudden, that joy and that delight that is in that child turns to panic, despair, and anxiety, because all of a sudden this game that they were playing, when they had that confidence that you were near, they just couldn't see you, it's gone. Because they know that you're actually not there. And in some ways, I think this is the same thing that God loves to bring into our lives. It's this whole thing of seeking Him and finding Him. And we can have the confidence that He actually is there. We just have to open up the right door. We just have to look underneath the right bed. We have to just, you know, the analogy is going to some point, you know, fall apart. But are you tracking with me? Are you getting this? That we have that confidence that even though we don't see God, He is near. And He always promises that when we seek Him, that when with all our heart, we're going to find Him. And James 4:8 says, "Draw near to God and He will draw near to you." There's a level of responsibility that we have here. That when we draw near to God, it's like He's there. So if God is over there and I am drawing near to Him, He doesn't move. He's there. His location doesn't, like, I'm going this way to God and then all of a sudden He's like, whoop, just kidding. He takes off and goes over there. No. God is there, and so as I draw near to Him, it's just a promise that He is going to be there. Acts 17 says that they should seek God and perhaps feel their way towards Him and find Him, yet He is actually not far from each one of us. God's not far from us. How many times are we just sitting there waiting for God to come closer? No, the way this passage, these first three words, "come to me," is that invitation that we are to come to Him. So maybe when you find yourself in a prayer of desperation, say, "God, come to me, come to me. Why are you not here?" Maybe in that moment, you need to change your prayer and ask God, "Help me, just help me. I don't know how, but just help me come to you." Help me come to you. Help me figure out how to accept that invitation. I don't know where you are. I don't know which direction to go. I'm so lost. But help me come to you. To me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Labor and heavy laden. We're just trying to kind of build the context of where we're trying to get with this whole idea of gentleness being fruit of the Spirit. Labor is a toiling that brings exhaustion. Has anybody ever been there? Yeah, toil a little bit every now and then. Kind of like, yeah, I do that. I get into that a little bit. It's active. Toiling is active. It brings you to a point of being exhausted. Heavy laden, it's a different term in the Greek, and its meaning is to load up, such as like a ship or an animal with cargo, like you're loading it up. But in this case, it's used figuratively to overburden, and it's more in the context of in the definition, it says overburden with ceremony or spiritual anxiety. So you're carrying a load that's placed on you. So it's more passive. You're carrying this burden. So the labor is more something that we partake in. It's kind of our personal choice. But sometimes this heavy laden are things that we feel this spiritual heaviness that not necessarily our choice, but it is put on us. There's only other one place where this heavy laden is used in the New Testament, in the Greek, and it comes out of Luke 11:46. And he said, "Woe to you lawyers also, for you load," which is the laden word for the Greek, "for you load people with your burdens, hard to bear, and you yourselves do not touch the burdens with one of your fingers." And so this idea of being heavy laden is knowing that we all have these things that are heavy on us, that are burdens that are placed on us. And sometimes people are the causes of placing on that on us, but sometimes it's just the heaviness that you feel when you're disconnected with God, when you're disconnected, you're grappling with things. And so, you know, in the day of the Pharisees, it would be easy to look at, this passage here. The Pharisees were very focused on appearance. There was a certain way that they had to look. There was a certain way that they had to dress. They caved to behavioral pressures, particularly just the way they acted in public, but then it didn't line up with the way they acted in private. There was performance. They were very spiritual. They had all the prayers. They had all the rituals. They had all these things, and they pinned them on the other people. And then they're just they just overcommitted themselves to all of these things, and you'd have to believe that it led to spiritual burnout. And it this stuff is stuff that we grapple with today as well in our own modern day. Pressure for growth, maybe, where you feel pressure that, oh, this, you know, your church has to do this and this, you have to do this Bible school, you have to do this kids club, you have to do all of this. And if you don't have the staffing or you don't have enough volunteers, maybe that's an area where you're feeling that pressure, but you don't have enough to where it could lead out to burnout. A church leader could experience this when he feels like he always has to be available 24/7 for anything. Or if you're in that as a mom, you always feel that you have to be available 24/7. There's no time that you can necessarily cut it off, and you just feel that weightiness, that burden. There can be shame for life struggles. Maybe someone You feel shame because you're struggling in this area of life. You don't know how to connect with somebody, and you're feeling that shame. That's something that's being laid on you. Social media influences today have a way of just putting stuff on you that you have no business even needing to carry. Cliches and isolation, burden of being known, but not truly belonging, where people feel they must hide their true selves to fit into a church social hierarchy, that you're not able to be the person that you feel like God wants you to be because you are feeling the social pressure and all of these things. So these are just some examples, and we can so quickly put these on each other that we could so quickly be part of the problem. Because, you know, when you think about most church splits or most disputes or arguments, it's not all these things that are clear, cut, and dry in Scripture. It's like, well, we don't just come to a point where we say, oh, I don't think we have to be loving God anymore, or I don't think we have to love our neighbor. I think we can just cut that out. Or the arguments are not. It's usually on like gray areas or just matters of opinion, and you start laying these burdens on people. You're laying it on, and all of a sudden the pressure mounts up so big that people just crumble. People divide. People split. So we have this load. We have this heavy laden labor that is on us. And Jesus is saying, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. And we're going to get to that, I will give you rest, in just a little bit here. We're going to keep moving on. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. So we're going to take a look at my yoke upon you. There's this invitation. So not only is Jesus saying, come to me, but he's also saying, now that you have come to me, now there's something else. That once you come to me, you can take my yoke upon you. And there's kind of two different ways that we think of a yoke. There's a yoke where you have, you know, the common one is an ox. An ox that has a yoke that allows them to pull a plow together. But also, in this Greek, the yoke also can refer to a scale as well, like the balancing scale. And so, you know, you think about that even when you have maybe all your brokenness, all your junk, all your weight on one side of the scale. And what Christ is offering is to take all that way and take that upon us through the cross. He took all of our sin, he took all of our guilt, and he is the one that has all of that, and there's nothing left, and the scale goes like this. It's easy. It's an easy scale. It's easy. And so, but either way, I think there is reference in Scripture to both ideas of concept of a scale being a balances, or the scale being like an, or the yoke being like an ox, that when you pull together, it makes that burden lighter. And when we pull with Christ, when we pull with him, then our burden isn't as heavy. And this is shown here in Acts 15. Now therefore, why are you putting God to the test by placing a yoke on the neck of the disciples that neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? So the context of this passage in Scripture is that Peter is talking to the elders who were gathered, and they were talking about circumcision. And the quote that comes earlier in Acts is from one of the elders is, you know, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. That was the yoke that was being placed. That was a burden that was being placed, a heavy-laden yoke that was being put on them that, hey, unless you're circumcised, you can't be saved. And so Jesus is saying, there, and the scriptures that I'm giving reference to show kind of the reverse, of what Jesus is saying in Matthew. He's like saying, my yoke is easy, my burden is light, but he's saying that there are people that will try to place a yoke on your neck and make it hard to bear. We also see this again in Galatians 5:1. For freedom, Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery. We have come out of being yoked in that slavery. We have been yoked to sin. We have been yoked to the enemy. We have been pulling with the enemy. God has freed us from that. Do not submit again to that yoke of slavery. And then following this passage, so what I have as our text is Matthew 11 through 29, but verse 30 says, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So he's offering us to come to him. He's offering us to, as an invitation, and once we have come to him, and then he says, take my yoke upon you. My burden is light. To me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. For I am gentle and lowly in heart. So this is where we start looking and unpacking a little bit. Why is gentleness a fruit of the Spirit? It didn't take me very long when I started looking up other examples in scriptures to kind of understand how gentleness was being used. It didn't take me very long to figure out that we need this as a fruit of the Spirit in our lives. So let's just look at Galatians 6:1. Brother, if anyone is caught in transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in the spirit of gentleness. Keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. If you are trying to bring correction, if you are trying to bring forth to light something that a brother or sister has caused a transgression, how often is our internal dial set towards more of anger and frustration? It's not natural for us to be gentle. You who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. When you experience bringing forth a rebuke or reprove or doing what this says in the scripture, and you do it in a spirit of gentleness, you know that it's not coming from you. Because you don't have that ability as a human to do that on your own strength, on your own power. You need that fruit of the Spirit, of his Spirit, of working gentleness through you. Another example we find in Titus 3:2. To speak evil of no one. First, that gets you right here. Speak evil of no one. That's just a flat out, like, no nonsense statement. Speak evil of no one. To avoid quarreling, to be gentle, and to show perfect courtesy towards all people. How in the world are we able to show courtesy towards all people? How are we even able to speak evil of no one? Brothers and sisters, we're not able to do that in our own power. But Christ in us gives us that gentleness that we can do that. Ephesians 4:2. With all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love. Can we bear with one another in love? And when there's something that just kind of irks us about a brother or sister, and you just kind of feel that little trigger in your soul and just like, let's take care of this problem, let's get it out there, let's go, you know, let's get it, you know, in the open, and you know, you want to get this over with, just hang on. It says, with all humility and gentleness, with patience. Should have bolded that word patience, because that's a huge thing as well, that you could just have a whole message probably on just the work of the Spirit and being patient. And that's one of the reasons, and I'm just going to trail off a little bit here. That's one of the reasons that I've really wanted to just have something like praying for the Lamette people group, praying for a translation, because I want us to have to pray for 10 years or 5 years. Like, I want us to have long, we're in such a world where everything's just so instant, everything's so, you know, you get your food quick, you get your deliveries quick, you get, you know, in 2 days, man, if it doesn't show up in 2 days, there's something wrong. Just, you know, it's, we live in such an instant gratification that I want us to realize that sometimes patience means praying for something for 10 years. Sometimes patience means that we will, I mean, essentially, I guess I was going to circle back, say patient is being patient. Well, yeah, duh. So bearing with one another in love. Gentleness helps us with that. If you're ever feeling not patient with your kids, how do you be patient with your kids? Maybe just try to act more gentle towards them. Maybe that will give you a little bit more patience to them. Corinthians 4:21. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love in a spirit of gentleness? How do you, this kind of sums up the law and the prophets, do to others as you would have them do to you. It's kind of like the same thing. What would you wish? What would you wish? That I bring a rod to you when I'm trying to discipline you, when I'm trying to bring correction, that it's like, okay, let's whip you into shape here? Or would you rather be treated with a love and in spirit of gentleness? I think that's easy for all of it. Nobody, if we had the choice, if Derek and I were trying to just figure out a dispute about something, then he would probably prefer that I don't just come and whip him. He would 100% of the time say, I'd prefer the route of love and gentleness. James 3:13 says, who is wise and understanding among you? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. And in that same word there, meekness, is also gentleness in the Greek. So by your good conduct, let him show his works in gentleness. Don't show your works in being proud or arrogant, but in gentleness of wisdom and understanding. Peter 3:15 says, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. That one can hit home, because we want to get defensive. We want to, you know, share all these things, and yet we want to tell people, oh no, you're not in the right path. You're not going the right way. This is why I am who I am. Let's do that in a spirit of gentleness and respect. So I think we've got the picture. We've got the an overall picture, and we're going to sing another song here, and then we're going to kind of try to start tying all this together. So we have the invitation to come, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He says, when we have come to take his yoke upon us, we can learn from him because he is gentle, he is lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. And this is kind of where this all starts tying in together, and it starts making a little bit more sense, I believe. So this whole come to me, and when there is this invitation here, so he says, come to me, we back up to and say, come to me, all who labor and heavy laden, I will give you rest. This form of rest in the Greek is more a word that has to do with external. It's a given. All you have to do is come to him, and he is going to give you rest. It is a given. It's a promise that he's going to give. But in this next form where he says, and you will find rest for your souls, this is more of an internal rest. And this in the Greek is more of a discovery. So it's not necessarily like he's just going to dump this rest on you. It's more of a discovered rest. And he tells us how we can discover it, I believe, in this last part. So the first thing, to just kind of recap and make sure that everybody is tracking along, is that he just has this invitation, come to me, and he's going to give us rest. He's going to give us external rest. He's going to help us with that. But and then as we go on, he says, you know what, I have this yoke here. Take it, for my yoke is easy, my burden is light. He also says, learn from me. We have an opportunity to learn. If we're not learning from him, then we're not going to be able to find the rest that he wants to give us, that he wants us to have. He says, I am gentle and lowly. One of the ways that you're going to learn from me is through my gentleness and my humility, how I am meek and lowly. And in that, you will find rest. You will discover rest. And this is more of that internal rest. When you feeling that struggle, the burdens that you feel oppressed, whether those are just things that people lay on you or just the heaviness that you're feeling in your spiritual journey, you know, that's why all of this begins to make sense, because gentleness isn't just listed as a fruit to remind us to act kinder. You know, I think we think, oh yeah, it's good. Let's be gentle here. You know, in this situation, let's try to exercise gentleness. We often think of terms that it relates to, as it relates to the greatest command, love your neighbor as yourself. But I would challenge us to think that we don't often think about how it relates to the first command, love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. See, it goes much deeper than just being this external fruit of the Spirit that, you know, when you get a chance and, you know, instead of being, you know, really angry at Derek for beating me, like he beat me on Thursday, he ran way out ahead and I was way behind. And so instead of being angry at him, just be gentle and say, next time, let me take the lead, right? Okay? Gentleness, it's much more than that. It relates to the first command that we're given. Love the Lord with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Because gentleness reflects who Christ is. And as Christ is gentleness, we are to reflect his image. And that's what begins to fill this void that we feel inside. Because only Christ can fill that void. Only Christ can fill that void that's in our hearts. There's nothing else. There's so many external factors that we are bombarded with in today's world that says, if you take this, if you have this, it's going to fill this void. We all know that those are lies. We know that Christ is the only way that we can be filled. And part of who Christ is his spirit of gentleness. And so as we reflect the image of Christ, then we start taking on this gentleness. And that is what is going to lead us to a heart of rest. Because we can face all the chaos in the world. We can face all the trauma. We can have all of these things going on. And you know what? When we're truly found holy in who Christ is in us, and we have that spirit of gentleness, we have the, I mean, and beyond and beyond, just focusing on gentleness here, that we're really free from all of those things that want to weigh us down. They want to weigh us down. And you know what? This is where we can come and say, you know, we're not going to let that, because we have discovered, we have found rest. We are not going to succumb to the pressures of this world. For your goodness, God, we thank you for just beginning to just crack the door into this. And God, it's so hard to just cover all of this, because your gentleness is so much, it is who you are. It's your character. It's part of your name. You are that. And I just pray that in some way that we can take a little bit of that this week, and just a reminder that when we're feeling with being really impatient, that you would just help us to counteract that with gentleness. That when we feel that we feel anger rising up within us, that you would help us to just ask for your spirit of gentleness to come within us. Lord Jesus, would we receive and accept the invitation to come to you. Help draw us to your heart. Help us to seek you. God, we know that your promise is that we will find you. Thank you that your yoke is easy and your burden is light, and that you have shown us through your gentle and lowly heart and spirit that you have given us a way to discover the rest, to discover the joy of being free and released from all anxieties, all trials that want to weigh us down. God, we know that it doesn't remove the trials, but allows us to have that freedom in the midst of those trials. So we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen.